Good morning. This is all my fault, all this. I wanted to do it a little bit differently, and this is how it came, and I like it, but I know someone said no when they said, how do you like it? Someone said, no, I didn't like it, and it's different. We're not going to do this every week. I just want to start by saying this is a special day for me. The 6th of October, 72 years ago, was a Monday, and a ship came into Port Melbourne with a group of migrants. And my parents and myself, as a five-month-old baby, were on that ship and arrived here in Melbourne on the 6th of October. So it's a kind of significant time, just happened to fall on a Sunday today. So I just wanted you, it's not part of the message, I just thought I'd throw that out there for your interest. And you're probably not interested, but... We're continuing in the series. We started with Be Honest with One Another, Accept One Another. Last week we talked about encouraging one another. I was very encouraged. I had a number of people talk to me about it afterwards, and it was encouraging. And I really feel God wants to speak to us as a community, how we relate to each other. And whenever you're trying to start get honest with each other, and accept the differences, we'll start to rub each other the wrong way. Forgiveness is going to be an issue for us. It will continue to be, and it was in Paul's time. Read, you know, Paul's letters, often at the end of the letter, he says, tell those people to get on with one another. Or, you know, there was friction in the early church, and there's friction in the church today and in our lives. So that call to bear with one another, forgive one another, is just as valid today as it was back then. Bear with each other and forgive one another if anyone has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And I wanted it around the communion table, because I often, when I'm preparing a sermon, I kind of say to God, what is it that I really have to get across today? And today's was really simple. I really felt God was saying, I want you to know that I have prepared a table for you of forgiveness. You know, we only get baptized once. We don't say every week, prepare for yourself, we're going to get baptized again. We don't do that. It's a one-off thing. But this is something we do regularly, because we fall regularly. We make mistakes regularly. People hurt us regularly. And God knew we would need this reminder. And if something God was saying, this is what I want to get across, this is a place I've made for us to restore our friendship, to restore your relationship with other people. It's a table. It's a holy place. And God said, that's why I want this around the table. It's no coincidence that it fell on a day of communion. But why do we need forgiveness? Because I check myself out every now and again, and I reckon I'm okay. But Tony pointed out last week in the prayer time that if we say we're without sin, we're fooling ourselves. And he was relating to 1 John 1:10. If we claim we've not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. We fall. But we don't often see the errors that are there. And I think it's often the role of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we're very aware. We thought, oh, I shouldn't have said that. But there are other times, and the Psalms talk about hidden things. Keep me from hidden sins, God. I love the prayer of David at Psalm 139 at the very end of it, a beautiful psalm. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me. It's a brave prayer. I don't recommend it, but I'm going to ask you to make it around communion table because it's one we need to make. It's, search me, O God. And sometimes God will reveal things to you that you didn't expect. You know, things like pride and, things were said or done, God will reveal to you. I think about this word confess, because we use the word confess your sins. And you might be surprised to know what the word means. It actually means to agree with God. When God reveals something to us, to confess means I agree with you, God, with what you're showing me is wrong. I'm not making excuses. I'm not saying that's not so bad. I'm saying you're right. I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry. So to agree with God, our prayer might look like, I agree with you, what you're showing me. I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And it's simple. It's not complicated. Every now and again, at the end of a day, I do a stock take. I don't do it all the time. I'll never get any sleep. But, you know, I kind of look back and think, God, are there things today that I shouldn't have done or said? And this is the other place where God gives us this space, this holy space, to say, let's talk about how things are going between you and I. How can we be sure, though, that we're forgiven? Well, we're sitting here with the answer right in front of us. This is a table that God has set for us, a table of reconciliation, a table of forgiveness. Why? Because everything on this table points to the cross. Everything on that table points to the cross. This is a table Jesus set for us just before he faced the cross, the Last Supper. Why is sin falling short or missing the mark such a big deal? Because it gets in the way of our relationship with a holy God. God is holy, and I think it was mentioned this morning. We serve a holy God, and we can't trivialise the things that get in the way between us and a holy God. You know, when you have a falling out with somebody and something they do or say hurts you, that relationship changes. Next time you see them, you know, you kind of look at them a bit, maybe avoid seeing them. Whenever there's things in our life that haven't been dealt with, our relationship with the Holy God is affected. And he wants to make space for us to deal with it. I think it's a beautiful thing. God says, my relationship with you is really, really important. I value your friendship. I value our relationship. So I've created a space that we'll always come back to make sure things are right. The bread and wine are symbols of the body and blood of Jesus. God reaching out to us through the cross, saying, I forgive you. I'm extending my hand to you. And the cross is a guarantee of God's complete forgiveness. The cross is a guarantee of God's complete forgiveness. When Paul wrote this letter to the Colossians and wrote those words, beforehand, not many paragraphs before that, in chapter 2, there were no chapters when he wrote all this, we added them later, but a little earlier in the letter, he wrote this, when you were dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. A beautiful image that God takes all the record of all the things that we've ever done wrong. It's a very big, big, big scroll. And God takes it and he nails it to the cross and said, that's where I've put it. And so, when he says, forgive one another as God forgives you, he's already described what God forgiving you looks like. It's a beautiful image. And that's why that parable is so important. Because in that parable, the wealthy man forgives his servant a large debt and releases him from it. And that's really what it's about, releasing from a debt. In fact, I was thinking, you know, seven bills around in your head, and this was, why a debt? But then I realised that in society, we talk about someone who's committed some crime that he has a debt to society to pay. And when you go to prison, you're paying your debt to society. And when you've come out, you can say, well, I paid my debt. There is a price to be paid. And God says, I have nailed those debts to the cross. That's why the parable's so good. I've released you of your debts. I've freed you completely. The Lord's Prayer, which Dawn took us beautifully through, the actual original doesn't say, forgive us our trespasses, that's the King James, or forgive us our sins. The word is actually debts. Forgive us our debts. Forgive us what we owe you, God, for our mistakes, as we forgive others for their debts against us. It's beautiful. And the last words of Jesus in John's Gospel on the cross, when he hangs there, he says, "It is finished." And that word is used in business transactions to mean the debt's paid. It's completed. When he hung on the cross and he gave his life up to God, he said, "It's finished. The debt has been paid." It's a beautiful image. About you, but at times I still feel guilty afterwards. We have an enemy called the accuser of the brethren. Spoke about this last week. And at times he will throw stuff at you and keep bringing stuff that you've brought to God. And this used to happen to Wesley. Great, I'm not sure if it was Charles or which of them. I don't remember. But I know one of them used to constantly get harassed by Satan and guilt would come at him. And this is what he'd say. He'd say, "Satan, write down those charges in the ink of the blood of Christ. Write down those charges against me in the ink of the blood of Christ." And Satan would, gone. It's through Christ's death that God forgives us completely. That make sense? Because I'm halfway through. All right. Because the next part is, and really if we don't get that, we're not going to get the second part of it, because this is the part that says forgive one another. And I kind of think you have to deal with God forgiving you first. Like he says, take the log out of your own eye first before you worry about what's happened with your brother. The fact is, we will step on each other's toes. We will make mistakes. We will fail to accept or to be honest or to encourage. And we need to accept this part of church life where there's a need for forgiveness, not only here in the church family, but in the wider community. And the main point really of that parable isn't so much that the servant was forgiven so much, but his failure to pass that on. His failure to forgive somebody a far smaller debt. God expects his church to be a forgiving church. He expects his people to be a forgiving people. Forgive us our debts as we forget those. Forgive those who are indebted to us. They hurt me. They owe me. God says, release them from that debt. Let go. I want to say a few things about that in closing, because I really want to focus time on communion. I want to say, first of all, that sometimes forgiveness is a process. It takes time. Some hurts are easily and quickly dealt with, but some we'll wrestle with for some time. I know I often see it as layers, like an onion. You deal with one part of it and then another part comes up. I've wrestled long with things sometimes before I was ready to let go. As I said, there are different levels. This passage sort of starts with bear with the failings of the weak. And sometimes it's just a matter of we have to bear with each other. We're different. Someone's going to say something that offends you, and we live in a society that's so easily offended. I think sometimes we just let it go. You know, it's most times or often offences that are not deep or heavy, we just need to say, "Hey, God, you know, I'm not going to make a big deal about that. I'll let that go." But sometimes there are hurts which are deep. And can't be overlooked and won't just go away. And I think at times those we have to deal with. Matthew 18 says, go and see your brother. And often seems the injured person is the one who does the moving. But even so, if you know you've hurt someone, sometimes, I'm going to use the word sometimes, it's appropriate to see them. I need to say sometimes because in my experience, I have gone to see people where there's hurt and it's been valuable. I've had other times when it was messy. It wasn't right. I look back and I thought, that was a mess. Didn't work out. I should have just dealt with it myself. So you need to discern. If you're not sure, you know, ask someone to help you with it. But there's no rules, I think, here. You have to just be led by God and ask him to show you. A rule I have is peace. If I'm dealing with hurt with somebody and I can take it to God in prayer, and let go of it, and I have peace, ongoing peace, I don't need to go and see them. I leave it alone. But if I can't get peace and it just sticks there, well, then I probably need to take it further. James has something to say here in chapter 5. He says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you might be healed. And that tells me there are times when we will need someone to help us in letting go of something. I don't believe in having a confessional and a priest. And you know, someone came the other day asking if we had that here. I said, no, we don't do that here. I'm not going to say 5 Our Marys and 10 Our Fathers. And, you know, but there is a space where you think, you know, I need help with this. I'm struggling, been struggling with this for a long time. Please come and see one of the pastors or elders or leaders and feel free to say, hey, would you help me with this? I've often done that for people or received that support myself. I want to say in closing that really forgiveness, letting go, is painful and costly. Look what it costs God to forgive us. It will be painful and difficult sometimes. If the hurt is deep, you really can't do it in your own strength. And I'm going to finish with a story. I could have picked lots of different stories. There's so many amazing stories of forgiveness. I often don't connect that because they're so amazing. I looked at the Amish and things that have happened to them and how they, and I think, I just, wow, I could never do that. How do they forgive? But here's a story I did connect with, partly because the lady is Dutch, like me, and one of the first books I ever read was from Corrie Ten Boom. That's her. She's passed away now. But those of you, I did connect with this because of how she dealt with it. I thought, yeah, I get this. So she grew up in Holland during the Second World War when Holland was occupied by the Germans. And their family hid Jewish people. Eventually they were caught, and she was, her and her sister Betsy were arrested and put in Ravensbrück, concentration camp. She describes in the book, The Hiding Place, the graphic pain and suffering that they went through, the cruelty of the guards who just allowed these people to suffer. Stood up in the early mornings, I remember vividly descriptions of freezing cold, standing there, starving, sick. Eventually, her sister succumbed to that environment, and Corrie watched as her sister faded away and died. After the war was over and they were freed, Corrie started a ministry, really, where she spoke at different places. I'm going to let Corrie now tell you her story of what happened. She went to Germany to preach in a church. This is from Corrie Ten Boom. It was at a church service in Munich that I saw him, the former SS man who had stood guard at the shower door in the processing centre at Ravensbrück. He was the first of our actual jailers I had seen since that time. And suddenly it was all there before me, a room full of mocking men, the heaps of clothing, Betty's pained look on her face and grief. That morning in the church service, at the end of the service, he came up to me, beaming and bowing. How grateful I am for your message, Fräulein, he said. To think that you could say that he washed my sins away. His hand was thrust out to shake mine, and I, who preached so often about the need to forgive, kept my hand by my side. Even as the angry, vengeful thoughts boiled up in me, I saw the sin of these thoughts. Jesus had died for this man. Was I going to ask for more? Lord Jesus, I prayed, forgive me. Help me to forgive him. I tried to smile. I struggled to raise my hand, but I couldn't. I felt nothing, not the slightest spark of warmth or charity. So again, I cried out a silent prayer, Jesus, I cannot forgive him. Please give me your forgiveness. As I took his hand, the most incredible thing happened. From my shoulder along my arm, and through my hand, it was like a current seemed to pass from me to him, and while into my heart sprang a love for this stranger that almost overwhelmed me. So I discovered that it's not on our forgiveness any more than our goodness that the world's healing hinges, but on his. When he tells us to love our enemies, he gives us, along with the command, the love itself. Forgiveness can be really hard, but again, it's not our forgiveness that the world's healing hinges on, but on his. We are given the opportunity to participate in the love that Jesus extends to the whole world with our forgiveness. I find this a great encouragement, says Corrie, that Christ gives us the love we need to forgive as we practice forgiveness. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know who you are maybe struggling to forgive, but I pray that you might be encouraged in Corrie's story to see that the forgiving love of Jesus in your life. Let's pray. Father, it cost you the life of your Son to forgive us. Don't let us ever minimize that or take that for granted. You know how hard it is. You know how costly it is. We thank you that this table is the place you remind us again of his life given for us, that our sins were nailed to the cross, forgiven. We also know, Lord, how hard it is to forgive other people. Times it's taken me a long time. But I thank you, Father, that, well, I remember that saying, to err is human, to divine is, to forgive is divine. And I thank you, Father, that for Corrie's story, it encourages me because where I can't do it. You often say to me, but are you willing? If I'm not willing, you say, are you willing for me to make you willing? Now I say, yeah, I'm willing for you to make me willing. And it takes time, but eventually we're able to forgive. We don't want to be trapped in unforgiveness, Father. It's a cage that we can't even let ourselves out of. Only you can do it in us. And I pray for us, each person here, Father, we might experience afresh your forgiveness that comes freely. And also, Father, that both the challenge and the grace to be able to extend it to other people in our lives, some going back maybe even a long time, that we need to forgive. Thank you that this is the table you've set for us as a place to experience that. Thank you, Lord. Amen.